As I was thinking about this service this morning, the Lord began to put something so special in my mind, and it's amazing. I was not having any discussion. I didn't discuss this with my wife, but when she came this morning, she began to say exactly the same thing for those that was here early. I really want you to pay attention, to get from God His word planted in your heart today. See, the thing is that today, God will be speaking words, will be speaking things to you and to me. He'll be sending solutions today. Because you see, sometimes when you come into the presence of the God, you're looking at just the environment, or you're looking at the people that are there, or you're looking at the person that is speaking, or the preacher. But what God uses this time to do is that God today is going to pass a word to you. That word that God is going to pass to you today might be the word that will save your business. It might be the word that will save your life. It might be the word that will save your marriage. It might be the word that will save your relationships. Because you see that in this world that we are in, the issue is that the day of evil does come. I mean, you're staying at home with your children and everything is going well, and just one morning, one person begins to act crazy. So God is sending out a word that I want you to pay attention. Don't look at me. It's not about me. Don't look at about how many people are here. But look at, because God says that there is no temptation that comes to us that He, God, has not made a way of escape. As you're listening to the God, is going to begin to give you ways of escape. You might not have gotten there because God knows everything. He sees the future. But when you get there, you will have in your heart the way of escape. Praise the Lord. So pay attention and receive what God is going to do for you today, because God did not bring us here to leave us. The morning prayer, when Sister Ronke started praying this morning, something very key for us to understand, it says that God is a father, that He will not leave us empty-handed. He will not leave us without equipping us with what we need. Praise the Lord. So pay attention, and God is sending out a word out for you today, that if you plant it in your heart, it will be your way of escape. Let us pray. Our precious Father in heaven, we just want to thank you again for this great opportunity to come into your presence, to hear and to listen of your word. You told us that it is the entrance of your word that giveth light. Without your word, Lord Heavenly Father, we are groping. We'll be doing things in our own understanding, thinking we know what we are doing. But the word of God says that there is a way that seemeth right to a man, that at the end is destruction. Father, but that's not the purpose. That's not the portion for us, Lord Heavenly Father. For you loved us so much, Lord Heavenly Father, that you gave us Jesus Christ, who is your best. And you ask us, what will you not give us? So, Father, cause us to receive your word today, Lord Heavenly Father. And Father, Lord God, may this word be an answer for us in all that we do and we say, Lord Heavenly Father. And at the end, let your name be glorified, and may our joy be full. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to continue from last week. Last week we began to talk about starting well. We talked about what? Starting well. We talked about starting well. We said that... that every day presents itself for us to start. That we always have an opportunity to do what? To start. See, the thing why it's important to know that we have opportunity to start at every point is that there are times that we get weary in life. There are times that we are going through life and some sort of confusion comes. And that's the time we begin to think that, well, there's nothing else that can be done. But God tells us, as we said last week, that God is a God of beginning. We use an example. We said that every day there is the morning, that the morning comes, and then the evening comes, and then the next day the morning does what? It comes back again, giving you opportunity for the things that you did not finish yesterday, for you to be able to do what? To complete it. So we said that God is always beginning, that we must leave our past behind and always look forward to start. By considering the things of old, we'll be hindered. If you begin to look back, all that you can get is defeat. If you begin to look at your situation, you begin to look at where you are, all you can get is what? Is defeat. It doesn't even matter if you're young, if you're old, if you're a child, because everybody has aspirations. Everybody has things that they wanted to accomplish. If you begin to look at the one that has passed, what will happen is that it will hinder you to move forward. So we also begin to say that God's mercies is new every day. So he will never reject or hold grudges against us. That what God does is that because God is always our partner. God is always standing with us. God is always supporting us. God does not get to any point where he absconds us, where he walks away from us and says, I'm not going to help them anymore. He says that if us being evil, we know how to give good things to our children. He said, what about him, God? So God is always at your side. I want you to understand that at every time, there is no situation, there is no fire, there is no way where you go to. That's why the David began to speak in the book of Psalms. He said, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that I'll do what? I fear no evil because I know that you're with me. It's important to know that God is not holding grudges, that at any point, at any time, as you're starting, that God is what? That God is with you. That's what we're saying. So we looked at the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. And it says, Lamentation 3, and remember last week I said, this is a great opportunity. Anyone who doesn't have a Bible, use that opportunity to grab a Bible, because what happens is that very soon we become too many, and because of all the use of technology, we begin to put it out there. And you've lost the opportunity for your own time to know where it's Lamentation, where it's Proverb. Because the thing is that God has given you a pastor and a shepherd. But the thing is that since I saw you guys last week on Sunday, I've not seen most of you since then again, but you have been dealing with issues. So it's not when you're dealing with issues, you're going to be looking for pastor. No, God did not send pastor for all your issues. God sent pastor to equip you as a shepherd so that you too will learn. So those times when that challenge is time, those times when imaginations and things are speaking to you that are not true, you can open this word, or you yourself can speak that this is what God said, and that will also get your hopes up. Amen? So please, again, I said, grab a Bible. I was planning to get some Bibles out here today, but we didn't, but we'll try and do that next week. But try to own one. Make sure you own a Bible. The best investment you can do for your life is that you own the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that will be able to give you inheritance. Everything you see, you have a child, I can talk about how much money I'm going to leave for them or whatever I'm going to leave for them. But really, what God has left for us as an inheritance that we'll be able to overcome everything, that we'll be able to get everything that God has said is in His Word. So be familiarized with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So Lamentations 3, 22, 23, we say, it is because of the Lord's mercy and His loving kindness that we are not consumed. Because His tender compassion fail not, they are what? They are new every morning. Every morning, God's love is standing. I don't care where you were yesterday. Every time God comes and says, are you ready? Every time God comes and says, are you ready? Whenever guilt is hurting you, whenever you're feeling so afraid, I want you to understand that it is not the loving God. At every time, what He's saying, come up, I'm willing to help you. Come up, I'm willing to help you. So He says that every morning, His love never ends. He said, the abundant is your stability and His faithfulness. So that's what we're saying last week. We also said that it's important to start well. And we said starting well requires setting a good foundation. And we said that our heart, that every issue of our life comes from our heart. So that really for us, a foundation is what we begin to allow and build our heart with. Because in the times when you run into anything, it's what you know that you're going to use. You know, after when I left university, I got recruited to go and work for Merrill Lynch. And after I worked there a little bit, I was doing software programming. So I went out to look for a new job because the jobs were just coming up. So I went to a banker's trust. And the position I went to look for was a position of a manager systems analyst. So they interviewed me the first time, finished interview. They said, no, you have to come back again. And we came back. Another person interviewed me. And then after a while, they came inside the office. They said, after speaking with you and everything, we really think that this position you came to look for, we have it, but they will have a position of a vice president. That we think that that's where you really fit. So I came to look for something, and they're doubling it. And the price, the salary they were telling me was just too much for me then. So I was nervous in my mind. I said, me that came to look for it, I said, let me go home and think. So I came back, I'm telling my wife, I said, I said, they offered me a vice president position. I said, that's like three levels. But I found out that as they were talking to me, the things that I've stored, the things that were in my heart were coming out. And when they saw the thing that in my heart, they placed me completely in a different place. Praise the Lord. So what happens also with the word of God? That's why I find out that the heart is your foundation. Whatever you put in it, whenever challenges come, the way you're going to deal with it will be in a category that's so high that the devil will run away from you. Praise the Lord. So I found out that really these things are in your heart. Now at that time, it had nothing to do with my degree or anything, because at that point it was not just degree. Degree was the basic. They said we are looking for somebody that has a Bachelor of Science degree. That was the basic. But now, this is where I want to apply, and this is where I was, and I went to look for this job, thinking that it's a step up. But now talking to me, they're going, wow, after speaking with you, we want you to be a vice president. And even me now, I was nervous. Praise the Lord. So out of your heart, these things come from. So in the book of Proverbs, the Bible told us that because of that, since it's a foundation, that we need to guard our heart. That's what we were saying last week. That we need to guard it, what? Diligently. That we shouldn't expose our hearts to everything. Amen? That our hearts should be guarded diligently, because out of it, things are going to come out. We should be careful what comes into it. And we should really make our time to build our heart, to build our foundation. And we said that the best way to build it, says the word of God. And we looked at the book of let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And it says that wisdom, Proverbs 4, 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, do what? Get wisdom. It says the principal thing in your life is not how many degrees you have. It says the principal thing in your life is not how cute or how good looking or how well dressed you are. It says it is wisdom. Because that wisdom is the what decides all those things. Wisdom is what, do you know that it's wisdom that you can come, you can have the best suit and everything and decide to go somewhere and decide to tone down the way you're dressed. It's not that you don't have, but when you get there, it gives you an inroad. Where you can come in and say, oh, there's nothing wrong with looking super. But you get there, everybody moves out. So it's wisdom that guides your life, really. So he said, wisdom is the principal thing. He said, and all that you're getting, that you should get what? Get wisdom and its understanding. So praise God. So wisdom becomes a foundation. And it's of the heart. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. And before I continue, if you look at your handout that we give every week, you will see that at the top. I don't know if you have taken time to look at it. And before we will talk some more about what are in there. But I will have a verse of the week. Why I'm doing that and why I'm putting that in there is that I want you over the weeks to begin to grab scriptures by scripture. You know, when you just take that home, if you master just that one scripture in a week, it helps you. And it always ties to what we are going to be doing today. And the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 is one of the scriptures that I put in here this week. And it says, so that your faith might not rest in what? In wisdom of men. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, so that your faith, so that your heart will not be established and rest in the wisdom of men, human philosophy, but in what? In the power of God. So I want you to start well so that your faith, your heart will not be established by just what you're seeing. But instead it will be established in what? In the power of God. That's what starting well is. So God says, trust me and entrust your heart to me. In other words, let your heart be established in your knowledge of God. Make sure your heart is established. Make sure that, I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. But become diligent, become something that you decide and said, look, this is the best thing, this is the best foundation I want to establish for myself, and I'm going to begin that journey and begin to establish my heart in the wisdom of God. He says, make sure that your faith does not rest on human beings, in human philosophy, because they won't hold. Because the day you meet certain things, you won't have the wisdom to deal with them. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says, how we do that is that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Everyone say, Christ dwelling in my heart through faith.
Christ dwelling in my heart through faith.
He said, then that you may you being rooted and grounded in what? In love. He says the foundation as you begin to be the wisdom of God. And again, if you look at our brochure, you will see that we come here, we say that we want to experience his power. And the greatest God's power is his love. We say, make sure you receive God's love that you too might be able to go out and give it. Make sure you receive God's love so that it will be the foundation of your life, that your life will be based on the life of love, that you too can live like God and be able to overcome like God. Praise the Lord. So a Christian that is joined with Christ in one spirit cannot continue. You don't want to continue doing things the prevailing way. You just walk by what you see, by feelings, by just what you hear. Because what happens is that you might hear incorrectly. What happens is sometimes that God that we are following, God says that, you see, God said he created this world by his words. You know, God is a creator. That's why God comes. He said, I will come. He said, where there is no way, I will do what? I will make a way. But when if you don't understand how God speaks, if you don't understand God that he loves, he says that, look, I do new things every morning. I take, you know, no matter whatever is past, I push it out and I'm always looking to do something new. But human beings don't think like that. So if you don't understand the way God works and you begin to take your decisions and everything the way people think, then you'll be somebody that will begin to hold grudges. You'll be somebody who become bitter. You'll be somebody that everything that works, you're going to be making your decision by what you see. Then you begin to ignore what God is saying. So when God comes in a thing and says, I'm going to help you, you begin to say, how? And you give up. Do you know that if somebody is going to help you and is standing to help you, if you give up, you can't take that help. I can give you something, but you must receive it. So God, it becomes important that we begin to know God and establish our life in the truth and the love of God so that when we are dealing, we don't just deal by sight. We begin to deal only by what God has said. So no matter what we encounter, no matter where we come to, whenever we see what God has said, no matter what is happening, we stand firm and the glory of God will be shown. That's how you become different. That's what the Bible says. It says that you that have given your life to Christ, that you that have accepted to follow Christ, it says you are more than conquerors. It says that there is nothing. It says you are victorious. He's talking about you. Why he's saying that about you is because you have the Spirit of God in you and there is nothing that is impossible for God to do. So now you are God, carrying God with you. It becomes impossible for anything to defeat you because you are always listening only to God and your heart is establishing God. So that is why if the society, if the situation is saying something else, you continue to say what God is saying and you get victory. Praise the Lord. So the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. It says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. So as you begin to establish yourself in the word of God, you begin to live by what? Believe. By believing, not seeing anymore. So if God says something and you believe it and somebody is asking you, how do you know, where do you see it? You say, no, I live by what? Believe. By believing. And he said, then you shall see the glory of God. He said, you never see the glory of God by not believing. You see, the thing is that the Bible teaches, it said that the wisdom of this world is foolishness. You know that whenever you see somebody doing something, they are using a wisdom. Praise the Lord. I mean, whenever you see somebody doing something, they are using a wisdom. I remember growing up, as a teenager, I grew up in Africa. And I know then when adults gather together, we like go hang around to be listening to what they are saying. And then when they see young people who are about to get married, they begin to give them wisdom. And one of the wisdoms I remember, and it made sense to me now, but it was the most foolish wisdom anybody can be running their life with. They tell them, you see, this is your wife you're marrying. Don't tell her the truth. They say, don't tell her. They say, you can't tell women. You can't tell them everything that you are living with. You say, make sure that those things you keep away from him, from her. You say, that's great wisdom because women are like children. So they keep telling them that. And they keep getting married and their marriage is not working and they're not prospering. And then when I came to God, and so when I too was getting married, not born again, they're telling me, they say, don't become so soft. You'll be foolish. So if they see you having discussion with your wife, they see you want to go discuss, you know, two is always better than one in everything. So if they see you go tell your wife secrets and say, what are we going to do? They begin to laugh at you. So you begin to draw away from it. But it's the most foolish wisdom I've ever seen. But people live like that. And they pay the price. So there are all kinds of wisdom. Young girls that want to get married, do you know that people that give wisdom say, you know, if you really want that guy, if you really want to get him, you really just go, you flaunt it, you do this. People use that wisdom. And when they're using it, what they get is rape. All they get is disappointment. All they get is emotional breakdown. But it's a wisdom that somebody gave them. They say, oh, it works. It really works. When you see him, make him swear. They just tell him all that thing. But it's a wisdom. So there's always a wisdom. Praise the Lord. But there is the wisdom of God. Let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 19. He said, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness. The wisdom of this world is what? Now look at all this wisdom. I just gave you only two examples. I'm sure that in your heart, you can be thinking of other wisdoms you have been told. And you see that those wisdom is complete foolishness. Because at the end, what is bringing is heartbreak. At the end, what it brings is destruction. At the end, actually, you come in some places and you apply it, it fails. It says it is foolishness. As the scripture says, he traps the wise in the snare of their own what? Their own. So when you begin to use that wisdom, God just sits and be laughing. Say, okay, fine. Go ahead. He says, have a field day. So the wisdom of God, our hearts should be established in Christ through faith. So the Bible begins to tell us that the only thing that the heart gets established with is the truth. And I said that last week. I said, look, you want to make sure that everything you have based your decisions on is the truth, not just true. Because if you have based those decisions, if you have based those lives in lies, one day will explode. I'm telling you, because the issue is that, you see, when we live here, everybody goes to live their lives. I tell people, church, we don't go to church so we can just clap or how nice or see your friends. What God did with church is that God wants you to come so that you can be equipped to go and live a victorious life outside. So if you go to church and when you leave, there is nothing that is implanted in you to leave, I have to advise you that that is not what church was made for. Praise the Lord. Because we have to go and live our lives. Nobody's going to leave. I mean, my children, I love them. Like again, I talk about my daughter is in the 18, going to 19 now. She's beginning to chat her own fact. She went out to Italy. Yesterday she was supposed to come back, and they came out, missed their flight in Germany, and got stuck in Germany. And she's calling daddy, what am I going to do? And I'm telling, do this, do that. And so that they're on their way back now. But the thing is that you have a father, yes, but you're going to have to face your own challenges, and when you face them, out of you will come to what you will deal with it. So what God has done that in the church, he has put pastors, he has put teachers, he has put apostles. He says that why he put that is for building you and me. So that we might be able to go there and do ministry. Ministry is your life. Ministry is your life. Ministry is not that just tell people, receive Christ, receive Christ. Yeah, that's part of it. But that you go there and you're prospering, you go there, you face with problem, you overcome, you go out, the sickness come, and they're telling you, oh, this is going to happen, and you say, no, this is what God said, and you stand on it and overcome. You go out there when people are saying everything is falling apart, you're standing on it. That is what ministry is. The people look at you and says, how come this thing is not affecting her? I always use myself as an example. And thank God, most of the people that are in this church so far, there are people who knew me when I didn't know Christ. I go to do business. I do real estate development. And I go to do business, the places I go to buy land. Femi will tell you, I go to develop places. I go in places where everybody run out of. They say, oh, it is nonsense. You can't do this here. Now, it is nonsense. But God, the word of God tells me, says that whatsoever, he said, blessed is the man that gets his wisdom from his word. He said, whatsoever he puts his hand to do, it will do what? It will prosper. So I said, look, my wisdom comes from God. I'm not looking at the economy. I'm not looking at if this place is posh enough. And I go there and invest. And that place that is less posh, because that is where all the value is, I make as 100 more times than people who went to do it in the posh place. And that time there are challenges. And that time when my eyes looking at it, I'm going like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? But whenever I come back to the word of God and hear what God has said to me about the situation, I do what? I begin to live by believing, not by what? Not by seeing. Not by seeing. Praise the Lord. So now, because of that, the message that is spoken about Jesus Christ, you must make sure that it dwells in your heart richly. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. In a day, there's 24 hours in a day. Even if it's 10 minutes in a day, even if it's on your way, you're sitting in a train, commuting, you just take Bible, just put it in your ear, listen to only one verse. Make sure that you take something from God that dwells in you, that when it comes up, when times comes to make decision, that what is going to be coming out of your heart is what God has said. Because whatever the counsel of God must stand. Amen. I want you to understand that no matter what you think, no matter how you see it, whatever God has counseled, that is what will what? Stand. That is why you come to where people are speaking what God has not said. You stand there, you say, fine, you have spoken your own. You go into your brother, you say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I put my trust in you. This is what you have spoken about this. What you have said will what? And you stand there. I'm telling you, sometimes you begin to stand there, you find out that you're standing alone. But let me tell you something. When no one is around you, I want you to understand that if it's God's counsel, God is standing with you.
Amen. Amen.
You need to know that. You need to establish your heart in that. So that you don't become like a ship that is in the sea. And then when the billows go like this, they take you up. When they shoot like this, you come down. So you don't begin to go and be walking just by sight. What I see, it's happening here today. You're over there. This is what everybody's doing. You're over there. And you don't stand and say, I know my Redeemer liveth, that even in this place that I'm standing, he's going to show himself mighty.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So you live like that because now you don't live by seeing. You live your life by believing. Everything that God has spoken about your life, you say it is A and amen. You stand there. I tell parents, I said, the word of God has said that the children that he gave you that for signs and for wonders. So you see any of your child is shifting like it's going the way you do not believe. You say, God gave me this child. It's a gift from God and it's for signs. And you continue to love that child. But if you don't stand, if you're walking by sight, you see that your heart starts shifting. Your love for that child starts changing. You start withholding things. But if you believe what God has said, if you stand with what God has said about that child, your love will increase, and the child will be what God has promised you will be. So we live by believing. So in the book of 2 Peter chapter 9, verse 18, it says, make sure you grow in grace. That you grow in what?
Grace.
That you grow in grace. You know, when I was thinking about that, the best thing you want to grow is in grace. And the best thing you want to have available in your life is grace. You want to be able to receive it, and you want to be able to do what? To give it. Anytime you operate by allowing room for other people, you'll be able to accept the room that God is allowing for you. Do you know that the greatest defeat in everybody is not the defeat that comes from outside, it's the one that comes from inside? It is those voices that speak from the inside. It is those little things that they begin to tell you. Oh, you're not good enough. Oh, this will not work. Oh, this has gone this way. Oh, this has gone. Oh, God is not going to help you. It is those things that defeat you. It's not what people are saying from outside. But if you believe that God loves you, when that language comes, you know that it's not the language of love. Because you have allowed grace. Because you are growing in it. Because you are dwelling richly in it. When that voice begins to speak, you can tell that voice what? Shut up. This is not God. I'm telling you, young people, you stay home with your father and your mother. And maybe you did something and they correct you. And you see one day, they just begin to tell you, you know, just hate your father. You know, I don't like him anymore. Something, I mean, this is your father that took care of you. This is your father that, or your mother that when you get sick, she's running around. But just one action might happen in your house. And something begins to tell you, you know, You know, you can just walk away. After a while, you know, I don't care. That thing begins to speak to you. See, why that thing can have a hold is that if you have not allowed grace to dwell in your heart, then you hold on that thing and you destroy your life. But if the love of God, and if you are growing in grace in your own heart, you will tell that thing, no, I have to also make room for my mother. I have to make room for my father. I have to make room for my sister. I have to make room for my children. I have to make room for my friends. Then as you allow that room, you'll find out later, really, that thing was speaking to you and telling you how terrible it is, that it is nothing. How many of you have found out that you think about something and find out that it's nothing about what you thought about? It has happened to me. You're dealing with something, the thing come and magnify itself. You say, oh, this is the end. This is how it's going to happen. And then when the whole thing finally passes, you say, is this why I couldn't sleep? So the Bible, it speaks there. He said, but grow in grace and the recognition and the knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, to him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So Christ is the foundation. The love of God is the foundation. That you are accepted in the beloved is something that you must dwell in all the time. It's something that you must allow to dwell in you richly. Don't you ever forget that the love that God has for you. Don't you ever forget that God is fighting for you. Don't you ever forget that he so loved you that he gave Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ paid the price, like they were telling us in the morning, for you to be able to come to his kingdom and be free and have access and be able to speak to him and be able to cry to him. Listen, you can never be vulnerable to a person you don't think you're accepted to. I've been married for 20 years. And let me tell you something. People can tell you everything. Love your wife. Love your husband. It is word of man. If somebody, you have not come with your vulnerability and they're able to accept you that way, you will never come to them freely. No relationship can ever be established if you know that there's no grace in it. So grow in grace. Grow in God's acceptance. Grow in God's love. Make every effort to run and come to him through Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of him. Don't look at him as just something a religion. Look at him as a relationship. When the times are great, even when it's terrible, go to him. He said, I care for you very, very faithfully. He said, my care for you is so much. So grow in his grace. How do we do this? We must be people that are diligent. Don't take your walk with God just a laissez-faire thing. Let it not just be something. Don't do it for another person. Be diligent. Just same way you go to school, same way you go to your job, looking that that's how you're going to get your paycheck. Deal with God in a very diligent manner that out of it comes all the issues of my life. So if his wisdom does not rest in me, I'll get lost. So it says that faith is established in the heart of a person by hearing what God has said. If you don't know what God has said, because no man here has ever seen God. I don't know. Has anybody here seen God before? I haven't seen him. Basically, nobody has seen him, but we see him through his word and his power. I was telling the lady at the hotel here that has been helping us. I said, you know, I began to share the word of God with him. I said to him, I said, one thing that really blows my mind is that, I said, science has made a lot of advances and there's no question about it. But I said, I come and look at these beautiful flowers. And if you go and clip it now, when you come back next summer, it has done what? It has come back. I said, with every advance that science has done, they have not just reproduced things. That a grass, they have not been able to put grass, and if I cut it, grass just keeps coming back. As a simple grass. So God shows his power every day. He shows his beauty every day. If you're around here during the winter, everything dries up. And if you just come around here and you leave, you think that this place is a dry place, but then you come back in the summer, leaves and everything begin to come out of it. The power of God. The power of God. Anything that has been put in God's hand cannot die. It cannot die. If you put it in man's hand, it will die. They have to go build another one. You have to go build another one. But if it's in the hands of God and you put your trust in it, it can never die. So if you begin to live that way, you don't live by your environment. You trust what God has said. So he began to be diligent. He said, it comes from hearing what God has said. So he began diligent to hear what God has said. He said, it comes. That's how your heart will be established. What has God said about the situation you're dealing with? What God has said about, you're a young kid, you're going to college, the career you're choosing. Have you asked God, what have you said about this? You know, that's the last thing. That's the last thing we do in our life. We do every other strategy, but we don't ask God. But look at what God says in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33, verse 2. He said, this is what the Lord says. The Lord who made the earth, who formed and established it, whose name is the Lord, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. He said, this is the God that created everything. These things that you're seeing, the moonlight, the sun, man, everything you're seeing, grass, the simplest grass. He said, look, ask me. He said, any confusion, any way. He said, ask me. He said, I'll give you secrets about things about your life that you don't know. How many times have you asked him? But as we come to the house of the Lord and you begin to look at the word of God, you know these things. And you begin to establish your life in this wisdom. And you see your life prosper continuously. It won't be like, man, I used to know this girl. Wow, it was like this now. This is how she is now. So if you look at people with the world wisdom, if you look very close, even in their emotions, you can see this. You can see this. Because this world itself keeps going like this. So he said, ask him. So we must be people who are what? Diligent. What's the first thing I said? To be diligent. Be diligent with the word of God. Jeremiah 15:16. As I begin to round up, he says, God says, your words were found and I ate them. And your words were to me a joy and a rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Listen, each and every one of you that have come to God, you are called by his name. God's presence, God is taking his reputation in your life. Amen. I hope you know that. God is not hiding. Anyone that has called himself a child of God, God takes his reputation and says, watch him and see the wonders I'm going to do through his life. God does not see, he says, I'm the good shepherd. God says, I'm the good shepherd. He says, so because I'm the good shepherd, if I see trouble come, I go and fight it. I don't stand as your shepherd. You're not named after my name, that if you run into trouble or you don't know what to do, I go and hide. He says, no, that is when I come and I stand. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. It's our idol. So secondly, after being diligent to pursue him, be a person that's obedient to the word of God. You cannot establish your heart if God is saying anything and you're questioning it. Praise the Lord. You must begin to be a person that submits himself to authority, especially the authority of the word of God. Because it is through that word that is able to save your soul. It is through that word that is able to get the wisdom to save you when you hit any problem. It is through that word that you're able to live your life in a victorious world. If you don't submit yourself to authority, when that word comes, it will go into one ear and you say, I don't care. So being obedient, especially submitting to obedience to the word of God, even in your houses, obedience is necessary, even in school, even in church. If you come anywhere where nobody's obedient, what is there is chaos. No country, no home, no life has ever been established in chaos. If you live a chaotic life, if you come to a place where you refuse authority, where you refuse structure, you are going to destroy your life. I am telling you, it's not mine that you will destroy. But God is telling us that listen to me. As you have come to me, understand there is structure. Be obedient. Don't think you know more than God, because you don't. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. He said, for God is not a God of what? Of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people. He said, God is not a God of disorder. All God constantly wants to do in your life is to bring peace, tranquility, and stability for your life. That is God's goal. Let me tell you, nobody has a child and enjoys it when his child is completely confused. Nobody does that. And if you see any parents discipline their children, parents send their children to school, whatever parents are doing to their children, their ultimate goal is that their children will be happy, that their children will be accomplished, and their children will be able to go out and live a life for themselves, not for their parents. So these things we are talking about is for you. It's not for me. I go to my own home. You're not doing it for me. But it gives joy to me and to God that you, as his children, that you're going out and you're prospering, and that when you're coming to difficult things, that you have answers for them. Because I tell you, you have a problem because you have not found a solution. I'm sure that somewhere now in Nigeria, let me not use Nigeria, there's somewhere now, even in this America, that people are sitting and they don't have anything to eat, and it's a problem for them. But I'm sure that for all of you here sitting over here, what you're going to eat is not a problem for you now, because you're sure that immediately you leave here, some of you go to restaurants, some of you already have all kinds of food cooked in your house. So, but to that person, they're sitting, they say, we have a problem. So problem is different for everybody. So whenever there is no solution, it becomes what? It becomes a problem. So the Bible tells us that with God, all things are what? Possible. Possible. He said, but establish your heart. Be obedient to what I'm telling you. Listen to me. I'm not a disorderly person. So we must be people that are obedient. Proverbs 13:20. He said, he who walks with a wise man will be wise. It's very simple. But the companion of fools will be what? He said, will be destroyed. He said, look, if you walk with wise people, all of a sudden you start seeing yourself wise. And the wisest person in the world is God. Who else to walk with? That's wisdom. God, Christ, he said, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, the power of God. So in Christ, you are with wisdom itself. So he said, if you walk with a wise person, you yourself become what? Wise. But if you ignore a wise person, make no mistake about it, and walk, become companions of fools, what comes out of it? Destruction. So establish your heart. Start well. Start well. Start well. Be diligent. Be obedient to his word. Don't look at this thing as just church. Look at it that God is calling me and tugging my heart at this time. And if you hear the truth, and if that truth is ministering to your heart, then you become to be obedient to God. You see it and be diligent and see it through. Thirdly and finally, be committed. Be committed to what God has said. If God has said something, be what? Commit yourself to it. Commit yourself to it. See, we live in a time where people make all kinds of excuses. They make excuses about their clothes, make excuses about their shoe, make excuses about their hair. I couldn't go do my hair yesterday. Make all kinds of excuses. I don't like him. But I want to understand that all those excuses is not hurting outside. It's hurting inside. Because if you don't commit yourself to something, you will not get the best of that thing. There's no other way. Some of you, the young people here that are in college, or even those of you that are in business, you have got that experience now. You've seen what happens when you committed yourself, how you were able to advance in those areas. And you have seen the things that you came and thought it was a joke. And you didn't get the value of that. So knowing that this is the principal thing, knowing that your heart is the foundation, I think that this is the greatest thing you want to commit yourself to. So commit yourself to God. Seek guidance in him. Make sure your foundation is established properly in him. Continue to commit to want your... Don't ever get to a point thinking, I know it. Continually commit to it, to be established in it. But if you don't, let me tell you one thing that will cost a person nothing. And it's in the book of John, chapter 5:44. So when you see these pitfalls, you'll be able to speak to yourself, look, I'm drifting away. 5:44, he said, how is it possible for you to do what? To believe. Remember we say, we live by what? By believing, not by what? Not by seeing. But he said, how is it possible for you to believe? How can you learn to believe? You who are content to seek and receive praise and honor and glory from one another. And yet you did not seek the praise and honor and glory which come from him who is God alone. He says, look, how are you going to believe? How are you going to now begin to be able to establish yourself in this new foundation that will give you prosperous, that will give you prosperity, that will make you strong, that will make you overcome, that will keep you steady? He said, how will you be able to begin to believe, not just blind by what you see? If all you're doing is that you're looking to be praised by your friends, it's what he says, what she says. It's so important for you to look good to the eyes of men. And you say you ignore that. He says, this thing can be preached from now till tomorrow. You can go and read your Bible from now till tomorrow. But if your main goal is that you're seeking the praise of human beings, you will not be able to believe him because you can't serve two masters. It won't happen. That's why Christians get frustrated. They say, I've been in church forever. I pray and pray. I don't see anything happening. You say, how can it happen? When even your prayer, you're hiding. When even your God, you say you believe, you're hiding. You say, how? How? Well, it's important to you more that they see you as you make sense than for me, God. You say it'll be difficult.